Hi, welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Shannon Elliott. Today, I'll be discussing the role of music in mental health recovery with a music therapist and vocalist. Michael Kessler serves as the program specialist at Alameda County Behavioral Healthcare Services. He has practiced music therapy for more than 20 years. Michael has developed therapeutic programs in adult acute psychiatric, geriatric, and long-term rehabilitation settings. In his sessions, Michael uses a variety of tools, including guitar, piano, drum circles, and composition. He has a bachelor's degree in music and a master's in rehabilitation counseling. Paulette Franklin was born and raised in the East Bay and has been singing in church since the age of 5. For many years, she also operated her own child development center. While going to therapy, she discovered that singing was the best wellness tool to lift her spirits and help her get through one day at a time. Her training with Best Now and internship at Alameda County Behavioral Healthcare Services are contributing to a healthier lifestyle. Welcome, Michael, and welcome, Paulette. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Paulette, I know you've experienced a lot of loss. Can you tell me what led to your mental health challenges?
Sure. My brother was murdered in Alaska. Someone tried to rob him and shot him in the head. And so he passed away. And then next, my mother, she had cancer of the liver. And I took care of her for months. And then, of course, she passed away. And then 18 months after that, my father passed away. And after that, I think my mind just couldn't take any more. And that's when all my challenges began. And I started to go get help for my challenges that I was experiencing.
What kind of challenges were you experiencing?
Mostly depression. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to go outside. I didn't want anybody to ask me about anything. I just wanted to be by myself.
So how did you discover music as a wellness tool and use it for recovery?
Well, I've been singing since I was a child. My grandfather used to take me to churches and make me get up and sing. And he said, just stand there and sing. It'll be okay. And I was a little nervous, but I would do it. And then just from that point on, I've been singing. I was in a group. We made an album and different things that have, you know, music has been in my life. So it wasn't until I had stopped going because after my mother passed that I went back and I could hear my mom telling me to sing. She said, just sing, Paula. She would love to hear me sing. And so I started singing again. And I realized that that was what contributed to my wellness.
So Michael, you have a background in music therapy. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about what music therapy is and how it works?
Music therapy, the definition I like to use is it's art and science using music to achieve a non-musical goal in conjunction with a credentialed professional therapist who's gone through training to do it. A great example of that is the ABC song. You're singing a song, not to learn the song, but to learn the alphabet. So that's one thing. And I use music, as you mentioned, sing-alongs, drum circles, just trying to get people focusing and working together.
Paulette, what kind of treatment options did you try when you were going through your depression, and how did those compare to music for you?
I've tried therapy, small groups with women that had similar things that were going on with me, medication, and it wasn't until I went back to church and started singing that I realized that even though I had to do all those things and I was doing them, it was okay, but I really wasn't feeling, you know, a lot better. And then when I would sing, it just made me feel a lot different. And I knew that that's what I needed to do.
Do you think the singing magnified the effects of those other things, or do you think the singing on its own is really what has gotten you to a better place today?
I think a combination of both, I mean, of all things that have helped me. But I think, singing was at the top of the list.
Michael, from a provider perspective, how effective do you think music therapy is compared to these other treatment options?
Music therapy, it's fun. It's non-threatening. It's non-invasive. It's kind of a sneaky form of treatment. You don't really know. I mean, you're having fun, having a good time, and it's much easier, I believe, to express yourself, to tell what the drum just made sound, what the sound the drum just made, than what is going on inside. It's much easier to sing someone else's words sometimes and just understand them and go, hey, that connects to me in such a way as well, that I can just talk about this other person's lyrics and it hits home without having to actually tell you what's going on in me and come up with it on my own. It's that way.
And that's a beautiful thing, because even though you go to therapy, talk therapy maybe to feel better, there's probably a lot of anxiety just going into talk therapy, because you know you're going to have to not only explore things that are painful, but then articulate them in a way for another person to understand. And this sounds so much more welcoming and
non-threatening. And then you're going in thinking, okay, this guy's going to analyze me.
Yeah.
He's going to...
What's his background? What are his credentials?
He's going to dig into my head and, let's just sit back and have a good time and hopefully something wonderful will come out of it.
So walk me through a sample music therapy session. What do you do? What are the goals? What are the ideal outcomes?
Okay. Start off with a... First, sit down. I guess you start off with a talk session. Sitting down and doing an assessment with the client, just finding out what they're there for, what issues they want to talk about or deal with. So come up with a really good assessment and also talking about the history and what music does connect with you, what music doesn't. Mm-hmm. If you are musically inclined, if you're not.
That's right.
And then after that, come up with a goal. Mm-hmm. Help the client identify what they want to try to achieve. Sometimes people come in and they have no clue.
Just to say, what might a sample goal be?
Sample goal might be anything from being able to get up out of bed, just getting up and starting the day, or being able to talk to somebody, being able to engage, start
a conversation.
Just get the conversation going. Or sometimes there's music therapists, I haven't done it, but work with people with physical disabilities as well, so helping someone start walking again and so forth. So after we come up with these goals, overall goal, then I will go into my little bag of tricks and, and find a nice session plan or develop a session plan which would have the overall goal and then goals and then objectives, how we're going to try to get there, what hurdles we might see in the process of getting there, and hopefully there'll be some hurdles that I don't expect because I kind of like working when things don't quite work right.
Right.
And then do the session. And it could be like with you, you're talking about just singing.
Right.
We just find out some songs you like, sit back and just sing.
Sing.
And maybe even you're talking about singing at church.
That's right.
Encourage you to do more of that. Go out and sing in church, sing with your family.
Not only in the therapy session, but out in the world in your everyday life as well.
And that's hopefully what the music therapy will do. It will transfer to everyday life, because you'll start off with just trying to express yourself or identify a feeling that you might not even know is there.
That's right.
And then maybe that will then transfer to going to a grocery store and trying to just converse with the person at the counter.
Are you taking new patients?
So you said you liked the hurdles. You smiled a little bit when you mentioned that. What are some potential hurdles that someone might face?
The hurdles that someone might face, that was dependent upon where they're coming from. So I was mainly speaking of hurdles within what I think will, what I'm hoping a session will look like, and if it doesn't. I've gone into group sessions with a whole plan started up, and the group just looks at me and goes, mm-mm, it's not going to work today. So then coming in, my music therapy professor when I went to school, Ron Borzon, brilliant guy, helped me out, my mentor. He used to tell us to prepare for an error-free environment.
Meaning, is there such a thing?
There isn't. But just try to figure out what might happen, what might go wrong before you go in, just so you're ready. Because don't know. So the hurdles are, the group's just not digging it, not wanting to do what I had in mind. And then we can change and turn it around and say, okay, well, we're not going to write a song today. We're going to just listen to music really loud and dance or find out what's going on with them.
Yeah. So, Paula, you've been singing pretty much your whole life, definitely since you were 5. There are other people out there who have not been singing as long or who might not be as musically inclined but are sort of drawn to music as a recovery tool, but they might be scared and trying it. What would you say to them?
See, Michael. No, you have to try. you know, find a group, find a vocal teacher, find someone that knows something about music, and at least go and try and figure out if that fits for you, you know, because, yeah, like he said, some people, it's not for them, you know, and if you have it inside, I think more people would, if they would try, they would see that it's there, because music is a thing that really touches your heart and gives you a lot of feelings I can't express to you, but it really does something for you. So I encourage people that I know that, oh, I can't sing, but yes, you can. It doesn't, you don't have to be on tune, nothing, just sing.
Have you engaged in musical activities other than singing?
Yes, I've been in a band. I used to play the bells. And we used to play the, I used to play violin. I still do on occasion, but not very often because my nails are too long. But yeah, I love the violin. My mother played it and my son played, and so, yeah.
Michael, in your experience, does music ever lead to negative flashbacks? And if so, how do you deal with those?
Not negative flashbacks, no, not per se. I'm saying, as I mentioned before, of doing the a thorough assessment. So hopefully I will find, we'll figure it out. But yeah, ideally, some thoughts that maybe the client did not know they had come up. Because then you're touching upon things that have maybe been repressed. So yeah, again, I like kind of playing on my toes. So if there is something that comes up that out of left field that I had no idea, and the client had no idea it was coming, where it was coming from, we can then really just grab a hold of it and focus on what's fueling that. So yeah, negative no, but maybe thoughts that they didn't have or emotions that weren't there come to the surface.
We really see that as a growth opportunity.
Exactly, yeah.
Paulette, what do you do when you hear a song that triggers your sadness?
Well, I'm a little different than Michael. I don't want to deal with it. Hearing something that brings back things that I don't want to deal with, I keep, you know, I shut it out. And that's where I'm at right now. But the other day, after speaking to some friends, a song came on. And it was a song, of course, I didn't want to hear, but because I'm around other people, I can't say, turn off the radio, sure. I don't want to hear that. So I tried to deal with it. And it wasn't bad, but I still, right now, I'm not at a place where I want to hear those things.
That's interesting. You mentioned that at parties or in social settings, if you hear something that upsets you, how would you recommend to someone else dealing with that in the moment?
There's no way in life that you're going to be able to go anywhere that something's not going to trigger you. And so you have to really deep down inside figure out, how can I deal with this? And have that plan in your mind so that, you know, if you go a place that, you know, something triggers you, you can, you know, either walk out the room or go sit down, take a deep breath, whatever you need to do. But you have to have a plan so that you'll be able to deal with those things.
Michael, how cost-effective would you say music is as a recovery tool, or music therapy is as a therapeutic practice?
It's getting more, because it's right around the mid-90s. A few celebrities and neuropsychologists went to the feds and said, this needs to be reimbursable, and Medicare. So for some music therapy interventions, it is. Those people are like, I don't know, Dr. Oliver Sacks, one of the guys, he's wrote Awakenings, strong advocate for music therapy. So that's one thing. And unfortunately, right now also, in behavioral health and mental health, salaries aren't that high, especially for a creative arts therapist. So it's an inexpensive form of therapy that way. We're working on trying to educate the providers and the powers that be. Also, that's in Medicare, Medi-Cal. It's, some states have state-funded things. California is working on it, not yet, I'm not aware of. So it's cost-effective. But there's also not that many providers that actually offer it. They say they do creative arts therapy, but they might not have a credentialed creative arts therapist on staff. So yeah, music and art can be therapeutic, and we all do it. I mean, walking down the street, you're hearing the beats. I mean, it's music's everywhere.
Everywhere.
So we're doing it. Have it billable. As a music therapist, you need a credentialed music therapist.
How important is it to be a credentialed music therapist as opposed to just a musician leading a drum circle or leading a singing choir?
I think it's quite important. And unfortunately, music therapy is not a licensed profession in this state. So there's no governing body overseeing this. So as a creative arts therapist, we have to do it ourselves. So if I see something, I will go, hey, wait a minute, what you're doing is great, but the rationale behind that is the training. It's not just, we're not just playing music to entertain. Right. As I was saying, those things that I don't expect, fortunately I had the training and now the experience to backpedal and figure out how to not cause damage.
That's a lot of responsibility.
That's the ultimate goal. I mean, you might not reach your ideal goal for your rehab goal, but I don't want to hurt you in the process. And maybe someone who doesn't have the training and the experience might send you somewhere you shouldn't be going.
How does music therapy work with deaf and or mute clients?
That's interesting. Humans don't hear music with just their ears. I bet you feel the music. You feel the beats. You feel that you had a drum. You're going to feel, if I had one here, if we had our hand on it, bang, uh-huh. You would feel the vibration. Uh-huh. I personally haven't worked with the hearing impaired or deaf community, per se. But what I've read and the research I've read about, taking speakers, and instead of having them standing up, you put them face down on the floor. And you raise the bass up a little bit, and you crank it up a little bit, and you're going to feel that through the room. You probably hear cars driving by with the thumper in the trunk. You know, you're going to feel that going. And then the movement about, we haven't really touched upon the music and movement, and it's hard not to bop your head when you listen to music. You're going to move.
That's right.
Oh, and you're going to feel the beat. So that's the what I've read and learned about with working with people with hearing impairments.
Paulette, how does singing now in your life compare to singing before you had your mental health challenges?
It's a big difference for me. When I was singing when I was younger, or even when I was a teenager, I was just singing, you know. And now everything has a meaning. And I feel what I'm singing, and I listen to the words and apply it to me so that I can become a better person and recover from my illness.
Michael, in your experience, what are some success stories you've witnessed?
Oh, wow. That takes me back. First one, when I was doing my music therapy training, we were placed in different facilities. First place I went to was UCLA at Children's Unit. And there was this one boy there, about 10 or 12 years old. And whenever I came in, I just went there once a week for an hour. Whenever I walked in to start the session with the kids, he would misbehave and the staff would remove him. He was actually there because he assaulted his baby brother pretty bad, but the child was okay. So one day I show up with my guitar and I walk in and he sees it and he runs right towards it. And he goes, I want to play it. I said, great, have a seat with the session. Right when we're done, you can play the guitar. I have, because I'm using the guitar, so he can play it. So we're all on the floor doing my, with kids, I'm playing. And right when I finished the activity, I took the guitar without warning and just dropped it in his lap. And this tough, hard adolescent, really 10-year-old, looks at me and has that 10-year-old look in his eye again and went, how? Show me how. Mm. And he was a little kid again, and that's what he needed to be. Yeah. So it was wonderful. I stayed longer than I needed to because of schooling, but I stayed and played. And then more recently, there was when I was working in inpatient, a locked acute unit over in San Francisco, there was one woman who showed up, older woman from Austria, very, very quiet, mute, actually, refused to talk, or didn't talk. We don't know if she refused to at first. I tried to get her to come to groups and so forth, and She never wanted to, but then one day she started sitting in the room where I was doing my music groups. And she did that for a while, I would say, a month, maybe. And then I was thinking, going through my musical knowledge and stuff, trying to figure out some song that might connect with her. And the only thing I could think of, Austria, what do I know? I think Sound of Music. And I did Edelweiss.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The flower. So started singing it, and she started singing.
Wow.
And talking, and to a point where the the docs on that unit were kind of annoyed that she was now talking and advocating for herself, which is what you're supposed to be doing when you're a patient. You're supposed to tell them what you need. Okay. And so it really connected and was tons of fun.
So how do you gauge which music works for which people? Do some genres have adverse effects while others have positive?
Again, it would be with that initial assessment, mm-hmm. finding out what would work and what doesn't. It's not always a genre of music. It could be just beating on a drum or making up your own. You said you were in a bell choir.
Right.
You play bells. Just ringing bells listening.
Just listening.
Yeah, just listening. Listen to other people within the group. That's the one thing I really like to focus on with music. For me, music is community. Music is not me, it's everybody. So I try to encourage that in my sessions. We're gonna, like with bands, we had a little band going, had choir going, and just people being able to get out of their head and get into something that someone else, they're interacting with somebody else,
right.
And singing with someone else, and hopefully, again, that will transfer to outside things. Again, I spent most of my time working as a music therapist in inpatient locked units. So these people they didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to bring in help them find something fun and try to connect with other people and then maybe be able to go out and have society accept the way they are.
Paulette, would you say music has also helped you connect with others in addition to just overcoming your own internal struggles?
Yes, I feel it has. Who would have ever thought that through music you can reach so many people? And people enjoy music, and when they hear you singing, depending on where you're at, but most people will join in or say, oh yeah, let's sing this or let's do that. So it's helped myself recover along with other people, even if maybe they don't have the condition that I have, but I think just music in general can help everyone.
Michael, what have you learned from your clients?
That I need to know more. I've started as music therapist. I got my degree in music therapy, and then working in the field, I need to know more. So I went back, got my graduate degree in rehab counseling, focusing on psychiatric rehabilitation, which is the Boston model of, it's really simple. Everyone thinks it's all intense and stuff. It's really simple. You just ask somebody what they want to do,
right.
And then help them do it. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, right.
Even if it's way out, find out why they're going there.
Right.
And also that it's not about the diagnosis. It's a real thin line. Hopping over into that, I used to tell the clients, there's the only difference between me and them is I have a key to the front door, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But
yeah.
Music's been therapeutic for me. It's kept me from having someone else diagnose me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
So
it's not the diagnosis. That's not who they are. It's a diagnosis, which, again, there's most people, it's not a cure. Yeah. So how are we just going to function with it? And have fun doing it.
That's all right.
Well, thank you both. We have a special treat, and you're going to close with a song for us. But before we get there, I'm going to close with some resources.
Okay.
To find a music therapist near you, visit the American Music Therapy Association at musictherapy.org. Musical Minds is a one-hour NOVA documentary on music therapy produced in 2009 by Ryan Murdoch. You can learn more about the piece at pbs.org. To learn more about how rap therapy is being used for youth and other segments of the population, View a previous episode of Mental Health Matters at youtube.com/user/PierceTV. So now we're going to listen to His Eyes on the Sparrow, performed by Paulette and Michael.
The title of our song is His Eyes on the Sparrow, and it's very important to me because it tells me that God is always watching over me, and knowing Him makes me happy. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. And I sing because I'm happy, and I sing.